From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled The Prayer of Power and the Power of Prayer, part of this series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 5. He hath said, if we can only grasp these words by faith, we have an all-conquering weapon in our hand. What doubt will not be slain by this two-edged sword? What fear is there which shall not fall, smitten with a deadly wound, before this arrow from the bow of God's covenant? Will not the distresses of life and the pangs of death, will not the corruptions within and the snares without, will not the trials from above and the temptations from beneath, all seem but light afflictions, when we can hide ourselves beneath the bulwark of He hath said? Yes, whether for delight in our quietude or for strength in our conflict, He hath said must be our daily resort. And this may teach us the extreme value of searching the Scriptures. There may be a promise in the Word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort. You are like the prisoners in the dungeon, and there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door, and you might be free. But if you will not look for it, you may remain a prisoner still, though liberty is so near at hand. There may be a potent medicine in the great pharmacopoeia of Scripture, and you may yet continue sick unless you will examine and search the Scriptures to discover what He hath said. Should you not, besides reading the Bible, store your memories richly with the great promises of God? You can recollect the sayings of great men. You can treasure up the verses of renowned poets. Ought you not to be profound in your knowledge of the words of God, so that you may be able to quote them readily when you would solve a difficulty or overthrow a doubt? Since He hath said is the source of all wisdom and the fountain of all comfort, let it dwell in you richly as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So shall you grow healthy, strong, and happy in the divine life.
As I read your holy word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will, make my heart and soul be as I read your word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart. It brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart.
So as we read your holy word, help us see, Lord, help us learn. Holy Spirit,
my eyes and let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns returns to Acts chapter 12, the record of Peter's miraculous deliverance from execution at the hands of the evil King Herod. The focus is on a portion of verse 5 of the chapter. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for him. Here we find one of the great turning points in Christian experience, but prayer. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will deal with the tremendous power available to God's people through prayer. Among the many vital lessons from this passage, we'll see the difference between a carnal reaction to life's events and the truly spiritual reaction. Dr. Cairns will describe the features of the prayer of power and then highlight the characteristics of the power of prayer. Now to introduce this message, the prayer of power and the power of prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We're turning to the same passage that we read last Sabbath morning, so I'm not going to reread the passage. Rather, I'm going to read one verse and take it as a text. Dr. Jones sometimes talks about a pretext. Well, it may be half text and half pretext, because I want to relate it to the rest of the passage, but particularly we want to think on the second part, the second sentence in verse 5. Verse 5 reads, "Peter therefore was kept in prison," or as I pointed out last Sabbath morning, "Indeed, therefore Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." This text, I believe, presents a mountain peak of spiritual achievement. You'll notice that it commences gravely. "Peter indeed, therefore, was kept in prison." But I believe it concludes gloriously. The text hinges upon the word "but." But prayer. And in that "but," there is the secret of the progress from the threat of utter defeat to the experience of triumph and of deliverance. Now, in looking at the text this morning, I have entitled the message simply, "The Prayer of Power and the Power of Prayer." And I think you'll find very clearly that both are set forth in the text and the surrounding context. Let's think, first of all, of the prayer of power. And I want, in dealing with this, to emphasize three basic things. First of all, the fact of prayer. I want you to get the full impact of the statement that is here made. "Peter indeed was kept in prison, but prayer was made of the church," or by the church. You see, the great spiritual truth that is there being enunciated is that the reaction of spiritual people to any grave, threatening situation, indeed the reaction of spiritual people to any situation, is to pray. Now, there are so many examples of this in the Scripture that we don't begin to look at too many of them. Otherwise, we would never get through the rest of the message. But I think that this truth is highlighted very graphically in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, in verses 3 and 4. Now, the 17th chapter of Exodus, verse 3, tells you the reaction of a carnal person when trouble comes. "The people thirsted there for water." This is in the valley of Rephidim. "The people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" The carnal reaction to trouble is to fly in the face of God, to murmur that we should be asked to bear such a pain. It is the attitude which says, why, Lord? Why, Lord? You know, it's always dangerous for a Christian to go to God and say, Lord, why have you put this upon me? Why has this affliction come to me? I always remember a letter I received from a cousin of mine who was a missionary in Japan. He did a very good work and ruined his health for quite a few years to come. I have heard that he hopes to go back to Japan in the near future. But he did a great work around the prisons, and he went from sanatorium to sanatorium to deal with people who were dying of tuberculosis, and no one was going to give them the gospel. With the result that he himself contracted tuberculosis and had to leave the mission field for quite a time. I remember him writing to me, and as he talked about the triumphs or the trials, he said two things. First of all, he said, I have learned that it's not mine to ask the Lord why. It is mine to ask the Lord, Lord, what am I to learn? What am I to do? But it's not my business to ask, why have you laid this upon me? And consequently, he was able to say that the verse which blessed his soul continually and which became a motto text for his ministry was Paul's verse to the Corinthian church, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. You see, a carnal person will, as these people do in Exodus 17:3, murmur. They're looking in the black side. Lord, why have you done this? You're going to kill us. Notice the very next verse. And Moses cried unto the Lord. There's the difference. The spiritual reaction in a time of crisis, in a time of need, indeed in every situation which can possibly face the child of God, is to go to the Lord in prayer. You'll find this again and again in Scripture in the 42nd Psalm. The psalmist David shows exactly the same outlook as Moses. In verse 6 through 8, he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Never get it into your head that the giants of the faith were never depressed, that they were never cast down, that they never felt their heart in their boots, that they could never. There were times where they couldn't see the way forward. The 42nd Psalm is the cry of a man whose heart is crushed with mental and spiritual depression. But it's still the cry of a man whose heart is elevated by spiritual trust and faith. And he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee. You see the connection? My soul is cast down, therefore I will gripe. My soul is cast down, therefore I will give up hope. I'm feeling down under the weather, physically, mentally, spiritually. I feel drained. Therefore, I say, why has God forsaken me? No, sir. He says, therefore, for that very reason, I'm going to pray. If I need to pray in my high days of festivity and joy, how much more do I need to pray in the days when I'm low and feeling under the weather and feel all the more need of the power of God? Here's a man out of his depth. Here's a man where all the crashing billows of trouble have burst upon his head and they have overflowed his soul. His heart is broken. But he cries, verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. Listen, and my prayer unto the God of my life. The reaction of a spiritual people is always to pray. And so it is here in Acts chapter 12. James had been murdered. Peter was held in prison, ready to be murdered. But the church prayed. Now the word for prayer is an interesting word. It is the most general word for prayer. While other words, translated supplication, etc., may be used of a strong desire expressed towards a person here on earth or an earthly monarch or potentate, this word is strictly used for asking the Lord. It is strictly used for prayer in the truest sense. It is a word which in itself emphasizes the thought of devotion. When you take the word apart and look at how it's built, you find that it has basically in it the thought of a loud voice or a loud desire. It is the thought of strong asking. And then the first part of the word gives you the thought of the direction which this petitioning takes. It is asking directed to the Lord. That is the thought in the verse. So here then, we have the statement, everything is black, but the church has a mighty burden. The church feels a strong desire. Ah, but it feels more than desire. It feels the necessity of carrying that desire to God in prayer and petitioning the throne of grace. You know, there are many Christians and they have a desire, they say, for blessing. They have a desire to see people saved. They have a desire to see revival. They have a desire for many things. But they do not translate that desire into a broken-hearted, burdened season of petitioning the Lord. My, this is the fact of true prayer. The powers of hell were rampant. But prayer was made of the church without ceasing. And it was directed unto God. Notice the fervency of prayer. The words of the text literally are, fervent prayer was made. The word is translated here without ceasing. And I think that there's a good reason for putting that into the English text, as I'll show you in a moment. But actually the adjective is properly fervent prayer, not in itself ceaseless prayer. Now the word fervent again is a word picture. It comes from the verb, in fact it's just a part of the same word, to stretch out or to stretch forth. For instance, in Matthew 12:49, when the Lord Jesus stretched forth his hands, pointing out his disciples, pointing in a given direction, it's basically the same word. In Luke 22:53, when they would stretch forth their hands to lay hold violently upon the Lord, it's the same word. And so the thought here is of stretching forth. Obviously then, when we talk of it in this sense of fervent prayer, a stretching forth in prayer, it is declaring the thought of intensity. They were intense in prayer. They were stretched to the limit in prayer. You know, true prayer is never an easy business. True prayer is not sidling into the presence of God with your hands in your pockets and talking to God as if we were the man next door. Oh, I know that God is our Father. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother and our friend. But we must never forget the weight of responsibility that is upon the people of God when they pray. They are coming into the presence of the awful and the terrible God. They are coming into the presence of the only true potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And humanly speaking, as far as second causes go, they have in their hands that which determines the destiny of precious souls and the outworking of the purpose of God in the affairs of earth. Now that is a weighty responsibility, and you don't sidle into the presence of God when you're in that sort of business. This is an agonizing, burdened stretching of yourself. It is a breaking of the flesh. It is hurtful to the flesh. When the body is on the stretch, it hurts the body. When the soul is on the stretch, I tell you, it is hurtful to the flesh. But my, it is necessary to spiritual accomplishment and spiritual achievement. And if we would pray the prayer of power, then first of all, we have got to pray. That's obvious. Secondly, we have got to pray fervently. We have got to pray on the stretch for God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.